Part 3, Chapter 5, The Faculties, Part 1. We have discussed how the seeker becomes a pupil and how he is impelled towards the opening of the rose by means of 5 tasks or streams revealing themselves in the spiritual school. Let us now consider in what manner the new faculties develop after the opening of the rose, how the gift of healing is therefore truly obtained, and how the brother or sister received into God's new people is able to work with the gift of healing. Firstly, we wish to state that healing in the Gnostic sense means restoring the damaged microcosm, restoring it to its original status. A cure can only truly be spoken of when a damaged microcosm has returned to its original glory. So healing is sanctification or making whole, and the gift of healing is the faculty of setting this process in motion in a human being. As we have seen, this gift is based on a transformed power of the Holy Spirit, on the transformed radiation power of the Gnosis, radiating from the healer's being and revealing itself in 5 clearly distinguishable streams. They are the 5 magnetic streams of the new field of life. Furthermore, we must again emphasize that the utilized power released in the gift of healing is indeed a power received from the Gnosis, but that it may not be referred to simply as Holy Spirit. It is transformed magnetic fluid and therefore reflected Gnostic power, a power necessarily weakened and somewhat altered by the reflective apparatus. This likewise means that the gift of healing can never be absolute, at any rate, not until the microcosm has ascended into perfection, into the absolute. In other words, the gift of healing only extends up to a certain boundary where the teacher lets go of the pupil and entrusts him or her to the Gnosis itself. So the teacher experiences and spontaneously avows his weakness, his limits, and finds his strength in cooperation with all brothers and sisters. For clearly, this limited power is multiplied when a number of workers endowed with the gift of healing unite in a living, vibrating community. This illustrates what it means when a large number of pupils stands together in this new faculty. They are able to ignite a glorious power, an extremely mighty light in these dark regions. True workers thus never seek their strength in isolation. They combine their powers. They do not desire a dominating position. They know that everything of Gnostic value that they reflect is preserved in the power field and benefits all in need of it. Now, as you know, the first letter to the Corinthians mentions 9 faculties of the new human being. The gift of healing also belongs to them. One might ask whether all these faculties simultaneously shape themselves in the pupil after the rose has opened. This is not so. They develop and reveal themselves in a certain order, which we shall describe. Paul calls the first faculty the faculty of faith, or of imparting faith. It is the faculty of reflecting a faith radiation of the Gnosis which has been absorbed in the teacher's being, of projecting this faith radiation in the permanent atom of the seeker and urging it to activity. If the faculty of imparting faith can be employed, such a seeker immediately obtains a certain measure of faith. At first, it will be a faith in the teacher concerned, faith in what the teacher says. This initial faith then, of course, contains all elements for further development. The seeker thus guided to faith does not yet, however, possess the faculty of faith himself, i.e., he cannot yet transmit that faith to others. Faith always relates to a certain radiation of the permanent atom and is thus completely different from what natural religious man understands by it. He believes in authority and is in most cases governed as a machine. Faith, as understood by the spiritual school, is always a consequence of the activity of the spirit spark atom. As you know, the permanent atom has an attractive, an assimilating and a radiating power. Now faith, the first faculty of the pupil becoming a teacher, is a state in which the permanent atom assimilates and radiates directly from the Gnosis and generates an activity in the seeker's permanent atom. One could compare it to a ray of light. Imagine a mighty light shining over a temple, but unable to enter because of its roof. Then a teacher stands on the dais in a very favorable position to catch some of that light and transmit it, that is, to reflect it to those gathered in the temple. This is approximately how you should understand the effect of the first faculty. The seeker begins as a consequence of this reflection working to believe the teacher in what the teacher radiates to him because he experiences it. What radiates from the teacher is therefore not authority. The teacher does not take a certain stance towards the pupil, does not put himself above him. Faith in the teacher is part of a process in which both teacher and pupil stand. The manner in which the teacher experiences the light agency is also experienced by the pupil, and he feels this in his heart sanctuary. If this agency cannot take place, it means that the human being concerned either has no permanent atom, or that he or she is too closed, too much directed towards the horizontal plane of existence for the faith agency intended to succeed for the time being. Even though the seeker comes to have faith in what the teacher radiates and explains to him in words, this state of the pupil is not yet founded in the gnosis itself. For this kind of mediator, a medium, a reflecting apparatus is still necessary in the first instance. If, however, the believer now truly begins to go the path, the power of his faith will continually increase till, ultimately, a first-hand realization occurs. He is guided to that status by means of the five streams, the five gifts of the Spirit, emanating from the spiritual school. If the pupil, having initially come to faith, does not go the path, then the established bond soon dissipates or changes to animosity, aversion. It can even degenerate to opposition and hostility. So we can say that faith as a faculty is the first gift and relates to a magic, creative working of the permanent atom in the heart sanctuary. Now the budding teacher proceeds to the second faculty, the faculty of wisdom. This causes an activity of the fire circle of the Kundalini, located around the pineal gland in the head sanctuary. This activity causes the right hemisphere of the candidate's brain to be guided into a new state. Hundreds of magnetic points lie in the structure, in the various convolutions of our brain substance. All these points are linked to corresponding magnetic points in the auric being. So lines of force link the magnetic points in the auric being to the two brain hemispheres. By the second faculty, more precisely by the new activity of the pineal gland, the right hemisphere of the brain and its magnetic points are cut off from the corresponding links to the auric being. The connections with the auric firmament are severed and other connections take their place. The Gnostic power, which has touched the permanent atom and reached the head sanctuary via the activity of the thymus and the bloodstream, thus gains a certain measure of freedom, independent of many of the dialectical restrictions in the candidate. By this means, the second faculty is released within him. With its assistance, the teacher can more or less intuitively capture an image of reality and project it into the consciousness of the pupil, believing in him or in the doctrine. This second faculty thus imparts a shaping faculty. It is part of that impending Jupiter consciousness of which Max Heindel spoke. If there is no bond of faith between teacher and pupil, or if this bond is as yet too weak, the projection of the image will not succeed. The pupil will either not understand it at all or acquire a completely wrong idea of the projected image. For this reason, the work on a pupil in the spiritual school sometimes stagnates at a certain point. The pupil is then not vibrating in his faith, the bond of faith has been weakened, and when a certain image must now be projected into the pupil via the second faculty, it does not succeed. If, for instance, the projection is supposed to make the pupil clearly understand something, because the time is ripe and consequently intends to make him enthusiastic and joyful, the pupil concerned will at that moment remain totally indifferent. Nothing imparted to him will be able to move him. In the positive case, however, when the pupil reacts at once, he will show that the image received arouses a veritable tempest in him. Countless questions and problems arise, and he showers them on the teacher. The teacher must therefore possess a third faculty at this moment. Paul calls the third faculty the faculty of knowledge. By the aid of this faculty, he can analyze the intuitive image and solve the current problems. Through this faculty, he can etch the outcome of the analysis into the pupil as a concept. This third faculty is located in the frontal lobes of the brain substance. By the activity of the Kundalini fire circle, the right hemisphere of the brain is first changed, as a result of which the second faculty comes into being. Then the frontal lobes of the brain substance are admitted to the processes of metamorphosis, so that the third faculty becomes evident. With this third faculty arising from the seat of our intelligence, the seat of our mind, located behind the frontal bone, the teacher can clearly be most useful to the pupil, as he can give concrete indications with it and show him their obvious usefulness and necessity. When this activity is successful, the pupil has the feeling that things are obvious. Then he says with inner conviction, "Ah, yes, it cannot be otherwise." Or, "I cannot fully understand it, but I know it's true and my whole being partakes of it." And this is the result of the third faculty. The teacher now has three faculties at his disposal: the faculty of igniting faith in the human being suited to it, the faculty of image projection, and the faculty of imparting the intellectual analysis of the latter as insight and concept to the pupil's consciousness. Then the fourth faculty develops, the faculty which Paul calls the mastery of powers. This faculty completes the current processes in the head sanctuary. It brings the teacher a new will. At that instant, the teacher also becomes a priest. The new faculty of will comes about by a change in the constellation of the left hemisphere of the brain, by consequence of which the teacher is enabled totally to control and direct the powers revealed in him by the gnosis and, most importantly, to employ them for the benefit of the pupils. So in the work there is never any routine or monotony, but, according to the current situation of the world, mankind and the school, a power will be employed as required by the moment, and the word allied to it will be spoken. A great agitation will begin in the pupils. They will be woken up and kept awake. You will perhaps have noticed that the foregoing closely resembles the general trend of an occult scientific movement. From this you can gather how much occult science endeavors to imitate the course of development intended to serve the liberation of mankind from its fallen status. Imitation, inasmuch as occult science makes the eye develop these processes. One can do this, of course, but it results in a caricature. The development we present here to you in the name of the spiritual school is a development guided by and born of the power of the Gnosis, of the power of the Holy Spirit, from the state in which the Johannine human being says, "Not I, but he, the other one, must increase." When this mastery of powers is present, the fifth faculty, as a synthesis of the four preceding ones, can reveal itself. It is the gift of healing. It synthesizes all the preceding faculties in the cerebellum with the medulla oblongata as its central point, and immediately makes the teacher a magician, a priest-king of God's people. Not until this instant does the teacher truly enter the service of the brotherhood, the service of the Gnosis.